great habit to get into coming into Sunday night, coming back on Sunday night, because we learn so much about the Bible on Sunday night. Look at 1 Corinthians tonight, chapter 10, and I want to continue studying through the book of Corinthians tonight, and I want to remind you here that in chapter 10, the Apostle Paul talked about how that Israel went, in the Old Testament, Israel went into the wilderness, and they encountered a time of adversity and a time of trials. And while they were in the wilderness, they encountered these adverse circumstances. But, church, listen, when Israel went through all the adverse things that they went through in the wilderness, it wasn't for the purpose of destroying them. These trials should have caused Israel to see that in God they had everything they needed, that God was enough. God was sufficient for their every need. No matter the trial, they could trust God. The adversities of the wilderness should have been a time for Israel where their faith grew, where their faith matured. But instead of growing in the wilderness, Israel was destroyed in the wilderness. Look with me at verse 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. Verse 8, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed. Verse 9, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted. We talked about all this last week. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Listen, instead of growing in the wilderness, they were destroyed in the wilderness. And of course, we know that that whole generation, except for Joshua and Caleb, ended up being destroyed and overthrown in the wilderness. But it shouldn't have been that way. Now, in verses 12 and 13 and 14, which is what I want to focus on tonight, Paul is going to make application to the body of Christ today. If you look at verse 11, he says, "Now all these things happened unto them, Israel, for examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." Now, what Paul's going to do is he's going to take all these illustrations about Israel and how they were overthrown and destroyed in the wilderness, and he is going to make application to the body of Christ, us, today. He's going to give us some incredible insight in how you and I can grow through times of adversity. And there are three things that I want to bring out here, very simple points. But it follows the text, and I think that it'll help you tonight to understand this thing of adversity in the life of the Christian. The first thing that I want to point out to you tonight is this. Nobody goes through life without times of adversity. He said in verse 11, "Now all these things happened unto them for examples." Okay? And they are written for whose admonition? Our admonition. So, you know, Paul says all the adversities of Israel, they were written down and they were documented in God's Word for examples for us today. They are written for our admonition. So what does that teach us? Well, it teaches us that just as Israel experienced times of testing, times of adversity, times of trials, well, we will too. Trouble is a part of this life that we live in. Job, the first book of the Bible. You know what old Job said? Listen to this, Job 14:1. "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." You know, there's a lot of truth in that, amen? I mean, have you had any troubles in your life? Yeah, I mean, we all have trouble, don't we? Trouble and adversity. Why do we experience trouble and adversity? You ever thought about that? Why do we have adversity in this life? Well, there's a few reasons. That one of the main reasons that we have trouble and adversity is simply because we live in a fallen creation. Go back, keep your bookmarker here. Go to the book before Corinthians, Romans. Go back one book, Romans 8. We live in a fallen creation. We live in a creation in which the curse of sin is upon the earth right now. Sin in this world has brought all kinds of corruption, all kinds of problems. Look at Romans 8 and verse number, let's go to 22, 8:22. It says, "For we know that the whole creation..." Now notice what he says. It groaneth and what? Travaileth. That's the idea of a woman in travail, you know, that's giving birth. The whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Are you part of the creation, yes or no? Well, yeah, we're part of it, aren't we? We live right here in it. We're part of it. And the whole creation is groaning and travailing in pain, Paul said, together until now. Verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Listen, folks, you want to know why there's pain in the world? You want to know why there's evil in the world? You want to know why you have adversity in this life? Why you have aches and pains and you know, you've got trouble in this life? It's because every day that God extends the dispensation of grace that we're living in, every day that He extends this day of grace, it increases the possibility that eventually we're going to go through some hurt, we're going to eventually get sick, we're going to have some pain, and you know what? Eventually, what are we all going to do? We're going to all die. Every day that God lengthens this dispensation of grace, then the whole creation's groaning and travailing in pain. It's under the curse of sin. So every day that God extends the day of grace is increases the likelihood that we're all going to eventually, you know, feel pain. Our bodies are going to ache, and we're going to go through pain, and we're going to go through hurt, and eventually we're going to get sick and we're going to die. But the reason why, listen, because God's extending the day of grace, that's why He's got to leave you in that condition right now. You see, because when the day of grace is over, then's going to come that the consummation of all things. Once this day of grace is over, then that time of wrath's going to come on the earth, and then the kingdom's going to come to the earth, and then there'll be that healing, and then there'll be, you know, that deliverance from that corruption, but not until Christ returns to the earth. So every day He extends the day of grace, see, it means there's going to be trouble. There's going to be pain. There's going to be heartache. There's going to be sickness. There's going to be trials. There's going to be tears. There's going to be adversity, see, because of the fallen creation that we live in. Another reason why we have trouble in our life is not only because we live in a fallen creation, but because of bad choices we make. Now, this goes right along with the message about Lot this morning. Lot made some bad choices, did he not? Well, the Bible says, Paul said, he that soweth to the flesh, as you may know the verse, Galatians 6:8, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Corruption. A lot of times we reap trouble in our life because we sow to the flesh. We just make really bad, dumb choices. And so we sow to the flesh, and then we reap of the flesh corruption, trouble, adversity. Another reason why we have trouble and adversity is because, and this is, by the way, if you're going to have trouble, this would be the best reason, because of persecution that we have due to our godly life. Now, I don't know how many of us really have trouble in our life due to that, but the Bible does teach, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The Bible teaches that when we live godly in an ungodly world, and we've been learning about the ungodly present evil world that we live in on Sunday mornings in the series I've been doing. Well, when you choose to live godly, when you choose to live according to God's principles, and you choose to live that way in the midst of an ungodly, corrupted world where Satan is the god of this world, then the Bible teaches that there's a likelihood you may endure some trouble because of your stand for God. You may endure some persecution, some suffering. I like what Peter said in 1 Peter 4. He said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, listen, he says, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. So the Bible teaches, really, why do we have adversity in our life? Well, because we live in a fallen creation, okay? And that's just the creation we live in. It's groaning and travailing in pain, and it's going to be until Christ returns to the earth. The second reason is because of bad choices we make. We encounter trouble and adversity. The third reason we have trouble and adversity is because of persecution from this world system due to our godly life. Now, notice with me back in 1 Corinthians. Go back there, chapter number 10. Notice with me here the beginning of verse 13. He says, there hath no temptation. That word temptation means trial. It means adversity. There's no trial. There's no adversity. There's no temptation taking you, but such as is, what's the next three words? Common to man. That phrase there, common to man, do you know what it means when I looked it up? It just means human. Human. How many of you tonight are human? Raise your hand. Come on. You're not boogie monsters now. How many of you are human? Then how many of you are going to have trouble in this life? Yeah. You live in a fallen world in which Satan is the god of this world. Therefore, you and I go through adversities. We go through trials. Just as Israel went through these things, you and I go through these things. So, my first point, nobody goes through life without times of adversity. Number two, though, nobody is above falling in times of adversity. Look with me at verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he what? That's pretty self-explanatory. Paul says there is no place in the Christian life for pride and arrogance. When you get saved, and many of you know what I'm talking about here. When you get saved and you give your heart to Christ and God saves you, there's typically an incredible honeymoon period where you go through this spiritual euphoria. And boy, I mean, you feel invincible. And you just assume that now that I'm saved, my life is going to be a bed of roses from now on. I mean, now that I'm saved, my life's going to be a tiptoe through the tulips. Remember that old song by Tiny Tim? A tiptoe through the tulips. And now that I'm saved, that's what it's going to be. And you know what? When trials, when temptations, and when afflictions come into the life of a new Christian, you know, it can be devastating. And that's why it's so crucial. And we had so many people tonight, you notice, that have been saved recently through our church. And that's why it's so crucial, isn't it, Pastor Larry, to take these new Christians and immediately get them rooted and grounded in the truth of God's Word. Because if not, when a new Christian goes through trouble and adversity, it can be devastating. They're like, man, I'm saved now. I know the Lord. Why am I going through adversity? Why is there trouble in my life? Why is there pain in my life? Why are there these bad things happening? Because I'm God's child now. This isn't supposed to be happening, you know. And it can be devastating to them because they don't understand that adversity is part of this life. You know, that's why new Christians, young Christians, you know, somebody who's just been saved, they should not be placed in a leadership position too quickly. Because Paul said they can get lifted up with pride. And Paul said they can fall into the condemnation of the devil. You see, Satan uses pride to bring about our destruction. And that's why Paul says here in verse 12, look at it again, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth. In other words, you think, man, no problem. Man, I'm living a victorious Christian life. There's just no issues, no problems, no adversities. It's just, you know, no problem at all. I just am going to stand for God with no problem at all. He says, look, if you think you're standing, you better take heed lest you fall. In other words, maintain a spirit of humility. You know, new Christians, sometimes, again, they struggle with that. And he says, look, you know, by the way, those of you that have been saved a while, you're kind of a seasoned veteran Christian. Boy, I tell you what, the longer you're saved, would you agree with me, the more you realize how capable you are of falling? You know what I mean? The longer I'm saved, it just seems like the more I realize that, you know? And when you're younger in the Lord, it just doesn't seem to register as much. And you know, sometimes we can be very hard on people who have struggles. Now let me say that again. Sometimes we can be very hard on people who have struggles. And we can be very hard on them. We can be very, just very ungracious. And boy, we look at them and we condemn them. And we look at a Christian and think, well, boy, I tell you one thing. I can't believe he did that. I can't believe she did that. And oh, I mean, meh. You know, we just run our mouth about how we can't believe they did that. Well, you know what? You say, well, I'd never do that. Well, that's kind of a dangerous and arrogant attitude. Would you agree with me? Because the Bible says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in a spirit of meekness. And then he said, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You know, the Bible teaches that we really ought not have an arrogant attitude. We should not have this attitude of always looking down at other people and thinking, oh, that person that is struggling. Let me tell you something. We've all got struggles. Amen? And you know, maybe your struggle hadn't come to light. But we've all got struggles. And we've all got trials. And we've all got trouble. And we've all got adversity. We've all got our things we're dealing with, you know. And so Paul says, don't get this attitude. I'm standing and man, it's just, you know, everybody else around me may fall, but like Peter, everybody else might deny you, Lord, but not me. Remember what happened to Peter? See, let me tell you something. Demas, Paul wrote in Colossians 4:14, he said, Demas greeteth you. Demas is greeting you, man. And so Paul's writing this letter to the Colossians, and Demas is right there with him. And he says, hey, Demas sends greeting to you. He's right here with me, a faithful companion. But what did he write in 2 Timothy 4? He said, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Is there anybody in here that's incapable of being a Demas? Let me tell you something right now. You need to understand and realize right now that there is not a one of us in here that lacks the capability of being a Demas. Not a one of us. Now, that may rub you wrong. And you may not like me saying that. I'm just telling you the truth. Demas was right in there with him. He was one of the faithful ones. But you know what? A few years later, Demas had forsaken Paul, having loved this present world. And I'm going to tell you something right now. That could be any of us. He says, listen, you, those, he said, of you that think you stand, take heed lest you fall. Adversity, we said, nobody goes through life without times of adversity. Number two, nobody is above falling in times of adversity. Nobody is above cracking under the pressure and forsaking the things that we know are right during times of adversity. Now, those first two points can look kind of bleak, can't they? You know, I mean, you look at those first two points. Well, boy, nobody in life nobody's going to escape adversity, and nobody's above falling. Those are both kind of depressing points, you know, and both those are kind of like, you know, just a little bit bleak. I mean, it's what the Bible says, though, and we need to hear it, but it can be a little bit, you know, bleak looking, you know. But, you know, here's the thing. We are not left to the mercy of this life and its trials and its afflictions and its adversity. I just want to praise the Lord tonight. We are not abandoned. I want to praise God tonight. We are not left to ourselves. Praise God that for my last point tonight, which is a little more positive in nature, and that is this. Nobody has to fall in times of adversity. You say, why? Look at verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you. That word temptation, again, it means adversity. It doesn't necessarily mean a temptation to sin, although it could mean that. But it's a broader term. It doesn't just simply mean a temptation to sin. When he talks about a temptation taking you, he's talking about a problem, an adversity, a trial that's trying to overtake you. And he says, there's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. And he says, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now this verse has been misunderstood by so many people. And a lot of people use this verse to teach this, and probably you've heard this. I would think you've probably heard this. A lot of people use this verse to say that God is up in heaven putting you through adverse circumstances. God in heaven is putting you through adversity and adverse situations. And God's up in heaven and he's orchestrating and he's pulling levers and pushing buttons and he's manipulating circumstances intentionally in your life to bring adversity. Why? They say, well, it's to strengthen you and it's to temper you, kind of like steel that's been put through the fire. And so they teach, because on the basis of this verse, they teach that God does this. He intentionally sends these things into your life to prepare you or to enable you to do something greater later on. And then they'll say, typically from this verse, and when you're right at the breaking point, I mean, God's putting the pressure on you. I mean, God's just applying the pressure and God's putting you through all this stuff. And when you're right at the breaking point, then God will step in and God will deliver you. Now, that all sounds very intriguing, doesn't it? But that's not what Paul's teaching in this verse. Okay, that all sounds real intriguing, and it's pretty, you know, makes for good preaching, but that's not what Paul's teaching here. You say, how do you know? Look at verse 13. He says, there hath no temptation, adversity, taken you, but such as is what? A common to man, mankind. He's not talking about discussing things that are unique only to believers. These adversities are common to saved and unsaved alike. They aren't some special, unique testings from the hand of God. No, these things are, he said, these things that you're going, they're common. There's no trouble. There's no adversity. There's no trial in your life that isn't just common to man, that saved and unsaved have gone through. For instance, how many of you have ever lost a loved one? Raise your hand. Have unsaved people lost loved ones to death? Sure. Some of you in here maybe, you've gone through some devastating things in your life, but you know what? You can go and you can find unsaved people been through the same things. See, they're common to man, he said. But here's the deal. Here's what is unique to the believer. This verse shows you something that is unique to us. And that is this: God is faithful. Look what he says there. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But now here's the difference for the believer. He says God is faithful. God makes the believer able to handle these things without breaking apart under the heavy load. As believers, we aren't left helplessly to face these things alone. You aren't abandoned in the midst of the problems. He's there. And we have a relationship with God. And we're in Christ. And we're complete in Christ. And we have all that Christ is living inside of us. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh where? In us. Great verse that you don't hear quoted a lot is I'm just going to read it, 2 Corinthians for time's sake, 2 Corinthians 2:14, where it says, now thanks be unto God, now listen to this, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. If you want to see it, you can turn to it. 2 Corinthians. Just keep your bookmarker here. It's a great verse. You may want to underline it. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph, where?
In Christ.
And maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. That word triumph means to conquer, means to give victory. God is working in us. Now go back to 1 Corinthians 10:13 and look what it says. How's God working? Well, look at it. It says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. Now here's the difference. Okay? God is faithful. When you're going through that trial and that problem and that adversity, God's faithful. Now notice, who will not suffer you, you that know the Lord, you that are in Christ, He won't suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. But notice, He will with the temptation also make a way to escape. Now let me stop right there. The Bible says when we're going through a trial and an affliction and a problem, God says there's a way of escape. But what's the way of escape? Here's what you commonly hear again about this verse. Well, you know, you go, God puts you through this trial, God puts you through this test, and man, when you're right at the breaking point, God will swoop in and God will deliver you if you just trust Him. And then other churches will say, you know, God will deliver you if you just pray through, or if you name it and claim it, or well, you know, whatever the case is. Well, there's an obvious problem with that kind of thinking. The idea that this verse is teaching, that God's putting the pressure, you know, the pressure grips on you, and then when you're right at the breaking point, boom, God's going to provide a way of escape, and man, the trial will be all done and over, and He'll deliver you out of the trial. There's a problem with that. There's one little problem with that, and that's the end of the verse. All right? He said that God will, with the temptation, He'll make a way to escape, but look at the rest of the verse. That you may be able to what?
To bear it.
The adversity doesn't go away. God doesn't swoop in and wave the magic wand and take it all away. God enables you to bear it. In other words, God, through His Word and through all the marvelous resources He's given you in Christ, He says, you are able. You're able. Man, I'm getting excited. Look at 2 Corinthians 9 real quick. I got to show you this verse. This is great. Look at this. Yeah, see? It's not this thing that, you know, that God's up there pushing buttons and pulling levers and manipulating circumstances in your life, and He's bringing all this bad stuff into your life to try to temper you, and then when you're right at the breaking point, whoo, God's going to come in and deliver you. No. He says, no. The way of escape is that God makes you able to bear it. And He does it through His Word. And He does it through the resources that He's given you in His Son, Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you. Notice this. That ye always having, what do we have, church? All sufficiency. Does that include any trial that you would go through, yes or no? Does that include when you're on your deathbed, will God give you sufficiency to face it? Yes or no? Yes! God says, I'll give you all sufficiency in all things that you may abound to every good work. If adversity, listen to me, if adversity or sin swallows up the Christian and destroys our life, I don't care what it is. You'll hear Christians say, well, boy, if that happened in my life, I know I'd just fall apart. Okay, well, that tells us where you're at, spiritually. Listen, now there's none of us above falling. We learned that. But we also learned that you don't have to fall. Listen, if adversity or sin swallows you up and destroys your life, we can never point an accusing finger at God and say, God, you put too much on me. Because God has provided the way of escape that you may be able to bear it, endure it. So many Christians look at this and they say, oh, I'm only so strong. God's putting on me more than I can bear. I can only handle so much. You're looking at that as though you aren't in Christ. You're looking at that trial and that adversity as if Christ is not your resource at all. You see, you look at that thing and you think, I can't handle it. But you know what? Through the eyes of faith, we look at that adversity, we look at that trial, we look at that problem, we look at that temptation, and we look at that and we say, no, I can't handle it, but Christ in me can. Christ has made me sufficient. I've got all sufficiency in Christ. And God has allowed me to be able to have a way of escape. And the way of escape is not God removing the circumstance, making everything delightful and happy in my life again. The way of escape is not God swooping in and right at that moment when you're at your breaking point, God's going to swoop in and remove the circumstance so that you don't have to face it anymore. No, that's not the way of escape. The way of escape he's talking about here is the deliverance. The deliverance here is God empowering you so that you can go through that thing victoriously. That's the way of escape. He says, so you are able to bear it. God said, I've made you able in my Son. I've given you all sufficiency in my Son. I've caused you to always triumph in Christ. God says that I'm able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could think or ask according to the power that's at work in your life. And God says, no matter what it is, no matter what the circumstance, God says, I'll work in you and I'll empower you to be able to just drive right through that trial and come out the other side victoriously through my Son working in your life. And you know what? Something that would absolutely destroy a lost person. Something that may just cause them to despair to the point of death. God says, I'll take you through that thing and I'll take you through it victoriously. Paul said, yea, what persecutions I endured at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. You know what I suffered in Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. He was stoned and left for dead. He said, listen to this. Paul said, you know what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Do you know what he means by that? Not that God swooped in and removed the problem. Let me tell you something. Paul was stoned and left for dead at Lystra. Now, folks, listen. He was sore the next day. Okay? But let me tell you something. God delivered him through that trial victoriously. And that's what the way of escape is. God works in your life through the resources he's given you in Christ. And by applying his word and his grace to whatever that adversity is in your life, by taking his word and applying it to that situation and taking the grace you have in Christ and applying it, you're able to bear up under that adversity to where it doesn't destroy you. So many Christians sit around and they're trying to figure out why bad things have happened in their life. Folks, listen. If you sit around trying to figure out why everything in life happens, you're going to waste an awful lot of time. Bad things happen because we live in a fallen creation. Satan's the god of this world. This earth is under the curse of sin. Things aren't always going to be just and right. Things aren't always going to be just the way they ought to be. Persecution will come to the godly, and the ungodly will get off scot-free. The ungodly will do ungodly things to the godly because we live in a fallen creation that's under the curse of sin. You know, you can sit around wallowing in self-pity and misery and trying to figure out why every bad thing in your life has ever happened. But don't you think it's better to just take the Word of God and apply it to that situation and say, you know what? God's faithful. God's just faithful. God's just faithful. And I'm not going to sit around and try to figure all this stuff out because you're wasting a lot of precious time. There is no adversity that you're ever going to face that God hasn't given you a solution in His Word. Your sufficiency in Christ gives you the capacity to stand by faith in the solution He gives you in His Word. And you don't have to fall when you go through adversity. There's no trial you can go through unique. The trials in life are common to man, saved and unsaved alike. But the difference for the believer is we got a God who's faithful. And He's able to take us through the adversity and give us a way of escape, see? In other words, to where it doesn't destroy us. So we're able to bear up under it. He said, I give you a way of escape. Well, how? That you may be able to bear it. That you can go through that thing and come out on the other side victorious instead of bitter and mad and angry. Well, I don't understand why God allowed that person to do that to me. Listen, I have a hard enough time trying to figure out why I do all the stuff I do. Let alone trying to figure out why 8,000 other people do what they do. You know what I mean? You can sit around worrying about why God allowed that person to do that to me, and why God did, like, God's up in heaven pulling buttons and pushing levers and making everybody like robots do stuff. And you can sit around with that kind of fatalist attitude if you want to. But the bottom line is, you don't even know why you do everything you do. Let alone be able to figure out why everybody else is doing what they're doing. God's not intentionally sending you through the fiery furnace of afflictions to equip you for service. I'm so sick of hearing that. Like, we're living in this Old Testament economy. And listen, people, preachers get up and tell you that. Well, God's sending you through this fiery furnace because He's trying to just equip you to do something for Him. Folks, you are already equipped through the complete position you have in Christ, the sufficiency of His completed Word, and God's indwelling Holy Spirit. God's already equipped you. You're already equipped. Here's the promise. As you go through the adversity, and you will, because we live in a sinful, fallen creation. As you go through the adversity, God's able to take all those adversities and transform that which looks like something negative, and He's able to turn it into something that'll bring glory to Him. And God has promised you that no matter what life throws at you, okay? No matter what life throws your way, God says, I'm going to give you the grace to bear it. And a beautiful illustration of this, and this is the last thing I'll show you. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and we'll be done. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Great illustration of this passage is in 2 Corinthians 12, the Apostle Paul. And in verse 7, it says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." But notice, it was the messenger of Satan to buffet me. So you see, Satan comes. Satan sees what God is doing in Paul's life, sees the revelations. And so Satan's going to come now, and Satan's going to buffet Paul. Satan's going to come and bring something bad in Paul's life. And in verse 8 it says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." So here's this trouble and this adversity. And so does God sweep in here now and at just the right moment lift the trial away from Paul? Is that what He does? No. Satan induced the problem. I want you to notice that. Satan is the one. God wasn't up in heaven saying, "You know, I think I'll just strike Paul." No, Satan induced the problem, but here's the point. Paul understood and realized that God used this for His glory. And gave Paul the grace to bear this thing and to live victoriously through it. Look with me at verse 9. "And he said unto me, my grace is what?" You see, Paul had all sufficiency to get through this trial. "For my strength," Jesus said, "is made perfect in weakness." Paul said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I what? Strong." You see, God gave Paul the grace to take a satanically induced trial, adversity. And God gave Paul the grace to bear it and to go through the trial. Not deliver him out of it, but take him through that trial victoriously. Okay, now here's what we learned tonight. Is there anybody that's going to live life without adversity? Yes or no? Nobody. Nobody. I don't care how close you walk with God, okay, you're going to have adversity. That's part of this sinful creation. But number two, we learn that there's nobody that's above what? Falling during times of adversity. Okay? Like Demas. But number three, we learn that, you know what? We don't have to fall. Do we? We don't have to fall during times of adversity because we have a God who is faithful.
Amen.
And He can take us right square through that trial and come out the other side victoriously, that we may be able to bear it. See? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank You, Lord, for Your Word.